We bow our heads in prayer. Help us, O Lord, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow you. Amen. In early fall, I had the privilege to visit one of the vicars who is serving in a metropolitan area in the Midwest. I was there on a Monday, and on Monday evening, I worshiped with the congregation. I was told that this large congregation had a growth problem which necessitated 5 services over a weekend, 4 on Sunday morning and 1 on Monday night. They have every intention of expanding their church building, but they have a problem. They own the entire city block, but it just so happens there are 2 homes back to back in the middle of that block where people absolutely refuse to sell their homes. I called him on Monday and he said, "We have good news. Last week, our congregation approached one of the owners of one of those homes and offered them $130,000 for a house valued at $39,000. And the individual refused. And this morning, the other neighbor came and said they are willing to sell their home for $79,000. Now I ask you, how much is a home worth surrounded by an asphalt parking lot? A few weeks ago, perhaps you noticed in one of the news magazines that is published weekly, a little boxed article in the section Letters to the Editor. It said something like this: "Our editorial policy is changing with this issue. The medical profession has told us that the best way to prevent AIDS is to promote the concept of condoms." And you'll notice that on page 60 of our magazine, you will find our first advertisement. What a noble gesture, at least to let us know their advertising policy had changed. I wrote, and I wanted to bring the letter along, but forgot to do that this morning, but I hope I can, in summary way, epitomize what I wrote to the editor. It hasn't appeared in the current issue, and I doubt if it will appear. Something along these lines: to cancel my subscription. Because the article said that the medical profession had suggested. I began my letter by saying, "I disagree. Not all of the medical profession agrees. I'm sure there is a Christian segment of the medical profession who totally disagrees that this is the way to prevent AIDS." And during the course of that letter, I said, "We have saved the snail darter. We have preserved the giant sequoia. We have removed the asbestos fibers from our schools, and we have given more protection to the American bald eagle than to the living unborn child. We have mandated seatbelt law usage." And when we objected to some of these things and some of these laws, you said, "Don't foist your morals on us." We didn't, and you see what you got. I would reactivate my subscription if you would perhaps take this suggestion to heart, that on each of those items you sell, you might place a warning. Warning: the activity connected with this product outside marriage is hazardous to your health and others. Beyond that, a simple emphasis on no might bring us back to some semblance of morality. I suppose they did that on the basis of income. To gain that advertising value and profit. There are many people in our world today who are engaged in reading the reverse version of the Bible. And that means that many sections of it are left out, and especially a section that's pretty important in the word of this text for today. There are many people in our world and in our churches and even among the clergy today who only read the first phrase of the passage that is recorded here in the 26th verse. And a version which they read goes like this: what shall it profit? What shall it profit? It seems to be the theme in our world, even among us today. We live with the Burger King philosophy. We are beginning to believe that we can indeed have it our way. What does it profit? When we live for profit, our lot is lost, is the first point of this text. And the second one is, when we live with loss, our lot is profit. Every paper, every magazine has some kind of references in it to help us answer the question, what does it profit? What is the profit in this for me? Many worship at the altar of the profit market. In my work in development, there is a great concern over income versus expenses, profit. There are many clergy, though not necessarily listed as top investors in the Fortune 500, who succumb to the phrase, what shall it profit? What about you? And what about me? What should it profit me? What's in it for me? What's going to be my return? What's going to be my lot in all of this? What shall it profit? If I am able to intimidate a student in class with a dose of Orwellian oratory or Pieper polemics and have no compassion or love, the lot is loss. If I criticize a program or a position but have no instructive or constructive alternative to offer, the lot is loss. What shall it profit if I see no need to develop some kind of devotional life here on campus, and later on when I get into the ministry expect some kind of a devotional approach and life from the people I serve? The lot is loss. What does it profit if I'm preparing for a career dedicated to lead others in a servant role, if I'm unwilling to see my own servanthood even as I matriculate through a seminary? The lot is loss. What does it profit if we display in our show windows that which we do not carry in stock? Our lot is loss. We have to say with the preacher of Ecclesiastes, who said in the second chapter, the 11th verse, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Where is the profit? When a director of a YMCA is arrested for child molesting that took place in 1983 and 84, and is arrested and, while awaiting trial in his jail cell, commits suicide. His pleasure pursuits were gained, but the lot is loss. Where is the profit? On the part of the individual who calls a press conference to confess his misappropriation of funds, and he carries with him a little brown bag, which everybody assumes is his lunch, and after the interview and the questions are asked, he takes the gun from the brown paper bag and he ends his life. The loss, the lot is loss. Where is the profit? When the Iran scam gets hot and grows even hotter, and a key figure attempts to release himself from these activities through the overdose of pills, he has gained in his pursuit of power, but the lot is loss. And so it is in our lives also. We experience the lot that is loss. A few Saturdays ago, I continue to work on a project which seems like it's been started eons ago, finishing a room in the basement. And I was at that point where it was time to put in the suspended ceiling. And of course, I put it all in, the lights, and I wired it in temporarily so that I could come back later and level it all off. A half an hour before I was to leave for Detroit for an evening appointment, one of the lights left loose, and the whole works came crashing down. With a piece hanging there and pieces laying on the floor, it depicts our life as it sometimes is. Everything coming down, crashing around us, twisted and turned, pieces dangling here and there. Maybe that's the way it's going for you. Maybe that's the way it went yesterday. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, the lot seems to be loss. There are many today who thought they had it gained, power, prestige, position. They thought they had the whole world, and they lost their own soul. We're to turn to find that when we live with loss, and what the world would consider loss, that we realize that our real lot is profit. The text directs us. It first of all tells us that we need to look at the context. Remember when these words were spoken. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. The prophet comes in unexpected places and comes in strange sorts of ways. And the word of this text tells us, give up, take up, and get on. Give up, refuse association and companionship with people who lead us down a wrong path. Not only that, but to turn away from a companion that is pretty close to us, that oftentimes has taken us down the wrong path. And that companion that is with us day after day is spelled with capital letters S-E-L-F, self. Say no to the companion of self. It's not just an act of occasional surrender of some kind of habit or desire or fault, but self is cast out and Christ enters in. Give up. Take up that cross which causes suffering as a result of your faithful connection with Christ. Not some kind of suffering that we have to endure or some kind of hardship we have to undergo. No. That which we suffer because we stand with Christ. Take it up and then get on. And the word is in the present tense. It suggests continuous action. Get up and be going. The cross is not some kind of an elective course in life's curriculum. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. The profit is eternal life. In the lot that has to do with loss, we remember the thief that turned to Jesus on the cross and said, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross, save yourself, and by the way, we would like to be saved also. And the other thief on the cross says, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. The lot seemed to be loss. When Jesus was suspended on the cross of Calvary, and he spoke those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Lot seemed to be lost when he spoke the words, "It is finished." And the world looked upon it and said, "The Son of God has died. He is dead." But that loss, as we know it, has turned to profit. When on Easter Sunday morning, there came the light from the tomb, and the voice from the tomb, he says, "He is risen. He is not here. He is risen indeed." And so we come to this place on this day, when oftentimes our lot is loss, when by our very human nature, our lot is entirely loss. We look to the cross of Christ. We see the perfect redemption which he has paid for us. And we leave here today with a great profit, eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life eternal. Amen.